Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Sam Parado, and I'm the host of Expedition Self, where we explore how to go inside of you each week, picking up on an aspect of being human. You know, I'm always hopeful you'll see something about yourself that you might not have seen before or been as clear about, right? And every time that happens, we just get a little bit more freedom to be whole and actually be self-expressed in life. So, you know, when we talk about a subject, I'm not wanting to add to your intellectual font of knowledge. So I'm not quoting data, and I'm not, trying to give you the 27 steps to do something. No, you know, what I'm hoping is that as you listen, that your unconscious self in your being begins to feel something stir, right? Some sensation or feeling comes to life, and that with that, a new awareness about you becomes more accessible to your conscious mind. Because really, that's how we actually grow and transform, right? In truth, the conscious mind is often the last to realize that you've seen something about yourself or something about being human that you hadn't before. I know that kind of turns it on its ear, doesn't it? Because most of us think it's our intellect that grabs things first. But I don't think that's really how it works when you're really, really transforming at a being level. So sentences like, what can I see about who I am? And how can I be more honest and in touch with what's really going on with me? Are very common ways to engage these deeper parts of yourself, because that questioning that you do with yourself is taken seriously. And if you don't pose those questions inside, then your insides don't have anything to serve up for you, you know? So I'm pleased you're here today with me, because we're going to talk about reactivity. This is kind of a follow-on on my last show that talked about how to close the divide, where I ended with a question, if not you, who? And I feel like reactivity is just everywhere, and it's a conversation we can have all day long. And I'm sure you have a sense of this, because it's a pretty human, typical way of responding when we don't like what's going down around us, or we don't like what's happening. And there's quite a lot of not liking what's going on around us right now, for sure. So one more thing before we take off on this subject is that this is a call-in show. I know I don't always get call-ins, but I keep plugging for them, because I feel like it's one thing to talk about these concepts that can get a little abstract, even though I try to bring some stories about them, but it's a whole other enchilada here when I get to hear about you and your life, and so do our listeners, and how this topic is intersecting with your personal experience. So, all right, here's the number. It's 202-570-7057. And when you call in, Chris, the producer of the show, he'll answer your call and then alert me that you're there. So super easy. And when you call in, you know, I know it will help you also take the conversation further for yourself, you know. So I found this poem to get us started. I don't always read them at the beginning, but I just thought it was kind of cute. And I don't know, fit kind of where we're headed today. It's called The Fight by Russell Edson. A man is fighting with a cup of coffee. The rules: he must not break the cup nor spill its coffee, nor must the cup break the man's bones or spill his blood. The man said, oh the hell with it, as he swept the cup to the floor. The cup did not break, but its coffee poured out of its open self. And the cup cried, "Don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I am without mobility. I have no defense save my utility. Use me to hold your coffee." I don't know. I just really love that because I think that vulnerability is, we're going to talk a lot about that today, but it's one of those things that when we're trying to find a new way to be in life that doesn't normalize and make reactivity kind of the way to handle and cope with things we don't like, we really do have to learn how to drop in and start talking about what we're really afraid of or what we're really needing or what we're really hoping will happen. So, okay, let's talk about this reactivity thing. It's basically that moment when you are trucking through your day or an activity and you run up against something you just don't like or want or are resistant to. And I think it feels a little like a car crash inside because it's like hitting a wall, right? And it's a wall of like inside self. And so when this happens, you have some kind of an emotional being, physical, sensory response. Sometimes it may be the kind of thing that you speak out loud. And sometimes it may summon a buildup of like intensity, right? On the interior of who you are. But one thing I know it is that it is uncomfortable and it's disruptive. And a lot of times it brings with it a sense of instantaneous like heat and judgment and blame and finger pointing, right? Like all of a sudden you just, feel stuff just rise to the surface. And when that happens, it usually means that our personal power, it just went right out the door and said goodbye, see ya. But because of the way it feels in the body, we actually feel kind of empowered, right? We feel like we're engaged, like there's something active that's happening. And then add to that, we usually feel pretty justified. So this is why we're talking about this, is because as a human being, if we're going to create powerful lives and build the world that we want, then we have to get really super duper honest and decipher when power is really present, real power, and when it's kind of a pseudo turned up reaction that feels powerful because it charges us up from the inside. All right, that's a really important thing that I hope is laced through all my shows. This idea of what does it really feel like to feel powerful in a way that's truly powerful, not just the charging up, right? So right now, take a moment and peruse, I don't know, the last day, the last 5 days, you know, just go through your period of time that you've lived being you. Right? And see if you can find some examples where you can connect with this idea of being reactive. I'll give you some typical examples that I see. I happened to go on a road trip last week. I was on the highway for like 1,800 miles. I got to see a lot of this. It's like you're driving down the highway and someone changes lanes without looking, and you almost get sandwiched between them and the barrier, right? Scary stuff. Or you're making a call to your credit card company about a charge that isn't supposed to be on your credit card, but the person on the other end of the phone keeps quoting the policy for how to deal with it, and it's not what you imagine would be the most logical or easy or convenient. Or here's another one. You keep talking to your child about getting their chores done, and they tell you they forgot for the like 100th time. Or you're putting together a piece of furniture that just came from overstock and realize that all the screws aren't there. Now you can't put it together and you're having a party tomorrow. So it's really just about anything that can bring it on. And only you know how often this run smack into the wall sensation inside of you is happening. But I'd ask you in this moment to really allow yourself to ponder that it's going on a lot. right now. We may not act on it, but that we're having reactions all the time. But the key here is, how do you actually relate to your reactivity? Do you think of it like it's just part of the day, like driving over a giant speed bump, and the sooner you get things smoothed back down, that's good? Or does it disrupt your mood and shape how you see whether or not it was a good day or a bad day? Do you try to stay conscious while it's happening and source the feelings and core experience that's happening inside of you? Or do you instead like muscle your way through it as a way of getting it handled, to getting you back in your equilibrium or getting it done the way you want it? So this question, how do you relate to your reactivity? This is the being question that can be used with anything you want to go inside about, actually. How do you relate to it? Because, you know, when you do that, you're creating a dialogue within yourself, a sort of like self-observation, and it provides a stage for you to actually think about what you're thinking about. The reason I want to call this inner process out is because it's such a central skill for self-development. This ability to be the actor and the director and be conscious of it all at the same time, and then ponder how you relate or view or experience or process all of it, that is really worth cultivating. So, how do you relate to your reactivity? Do you think it's just the way life is? Do you think that sometimes you have to get all up in someone's grill to get what you want? You know, do you feel embarrassed or tired afterwards? So picture any scene from your life that you've been able to grasp a hold of or like find in your psyche when you're reactive. And then think about this idea of, how do I relate to it? Like right now. Did you actually have any sense of containing your emotional response? Was your reaction based on the other person thwarting or scaring or disrupting you? And the third question is, were you in touch with a sense of blockage in your own body, right? A place of feeling tense or taut, coming up against the walls of your inside self, the skin, right? The whole physicality of you. And let's imagine that you feel justified in it. So now the real exploration begins. And I'd like to pose some more questions that might apply to this question of, do you feel justified being reactive? Okay, well, here's the best question. Why? Why do you feel justified? Right. Another question would be, how do you organize the logic in your head that says you are justified, right? That makes the case. Then there's some bigger questions. What life experiences in your past felt like someone was the cause or source of your being blocked or disrupted or interfered with? And are you able to connect this moment of feeling justified for being reactive with that moment? See, in justification, we believe that they deserve it, whatever we dish out. And we believe that we are entitled to do or feel or act in any way we do. Now, are our feelings always our feelings, and are we have a right to them? For sure. But what we're talking about, this idea of reactivity, is that first of all, you're getting triggered. So you want to be able to notice that. But second of all, a lot of times it doesn't just stay with us. It actually starts playing itself out in our everyday interactions with life and the world. Usually we think they deserve it because it's tied to feeling like somebody did something to us. So this is a very fine distinction I'm making here, right? It's kind of chaos theory a little bit. Life happening. You know, every person on this planet is on their own program, and you are too. We think we're interwoven, But most of what's happening is we're running off of our own software, playing out these unconscious scenarios that we oftentimes, we don't realize are at work. And we're doing all of it with our physical eyes and mouths and bodies moving, as if none of this is true, as if we're actually all with each other, that we're all interconnected. So this idea that someone has done something to us, that they've intentionally caused this disruption with the intent of causing disruption, is largely false. Even if you could say, well, at some level, they're intentional. At another level, they're completely unintentional because they're unconscious, working their own program, and they don't really know it. Right? So even if they are being reactive too, it's likely that their actions are justified based on this same walking in their own fog and bumping up against you walking in your fog. And all of this happening while we don't know we're in a fog. I cannot stress this enough in the context of reactivity, because when you start considering that we're all dealing with all this unconsciousness, we start giving each other some room. We give ourselves more room to actually ponder or be with, wow, what just happened to me? I just got reactive. So that's the thing, being reactive and stepping into this oppositional stance and feeling justified about it usually means we're rather oblivious to what's really happening in both ours and the other person's solitary walk through life. We really can't know theirs, and we're working on knowing ours. Okay, when we come back, we're going to go a little further with this, talking about what happens when we think somebody is trying to do something to us.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, you're back and you're listening to Expedition Self, and I'm Sam Parado. We are talking about reactivity today. You know, that moment, right, when something goes on and the next thing you know, you're like, ah, right? You run up against yourself and who knows what's coming out of your mouth or what you're going to do next. Now, I haven't really made it clear as we're talking, but there's all kinds of dimensions or angles about this whole reactivity thing we're going to keep talking about. Hopefully the picture will get clearer and clearer as we go forward. Also, I want to remind you, this is a call-in show, and you're listening to it live. So the number is 202-570-7057. I'd love to hear about your take on reactivity and how it's played a role or how you've worked with it in your own life. So before we went on break, I was talking about that this idea that we feel justified, that one of the contributors to why we think we're justified in being reactive and acting out on being reactive is because we feel like somebody's done something to us or life has done something to us. But really, people aren't doing something to us. They're doing their program, and we have unknowingly walked into the situation or circumstance because we are also on our own solitary walk through life. And all of our needs to coexist, they push us to come out of that space that's just our own, that's our own program. So being reactive and feeling all of that stuff stirred up in your belly when you run into the, this didn't just go the way I wanted wall, is actually the first step to being more aware and more connected to what's happening around you. And it helps you to stop playing so much into their unconscious stuff and seeing you as the one who is doing something to them. So you can see we're interwoven. We're kind of in our own world. We don't realize we're as much in our own world as we think we are. We come out of our world because we need to do something, but we're making contact with someone who's also in their own little world, in their own inner world. And the next thing you know, what we actually have is a place where reactivity looks completely justified. It looks normal, and it actually looks like just the way you get through the day or the way you interact when things don't go the way you want them to. So I want to stop right here for a minute and put into words a big reality as it relates to this subject. It's probably kind of the bad news, but you are definitely playing the role of doing something to others when you are being you. Yeah, don't kid yourself. Yes, you are. Yes, I am, right? It may be that you're doing something to that very someone that you think is doing something to you, even though you feel justified reacting the way you are, and at the very same moment they feel justified. This little firestorm that gets created, even if for yourself you're like, no, I kept my cool, but I'll bet you if I was there and you were reactive, what I would see is your lips would thin, or your back would get taut, or you would start to kind of cut your words off in short, like staccato ways, right? The challenge when we get reactive is that we are going to bump up against the other person, and then they're going to feel reactive. And they might actually feel like you're the one who's being unreasonable and disrupting their world. So let's circle back to the scenario you landed on when we first started talking. If you can see how justified you felt being reactive with them, and then look at what you thought they were doing to you, can you see then how that might have activated their sense that you were doing something to them? I know when we're reactive, we never want to look at what's going on with us. It really is the last thing that's on our list. You know, I get in this dynamic when someone tells me no, and I think it should be yes. And the minute I don't accept what they want me to, which is a no, I'm not accepting a no, I don't like getting no's, I can't have or do, right, what I want to do that seems logical. The minute that happens, it's the very minute I get justified. And I'm pretty sure that I'm now doing something to them, which is, you know, in general, feels intense, but what I'm doing is not accepting their answer. And now they're reactive too, and they're triggered, and they're activated. They need to go back to all those questions, right? So I don't like to be told no if I think my request is reasonable. Actually, I don't like to be told no ever. So if I think what I'm asking is logical or workable or doable, I have no compunction about, here's the key word, expecting people to stretch outside of whatever the routine responses would be. So in this way, I'm always doing something to someone to activate their reactivity. There's a lot of mouthful syllables there. But I'm really walking on my solitary journey, working with my inner experience and my power while all that's going on. So if I tie this to my life, being told no feels lousy. And it triggers all all of these powerless moments when it didn't seem like I could choose for myself. And what happened was uncomfortable or painful. I came out of all of that as someone who pushes back. I don't just go with the flow because I can't trust and I don't believe, and I've experienced that the flow doesn't work for me and consider all of my needs. Later, we'll talk about this in the context of that's my come from, is that I really don't have a sense that if I go with the flow, what I'm wanting or needing will happen or get taken care of. So all of this is wrapped around why I feel justified to be reactive, right? And then I'm likely raining down some pretty plump emotional material for that other person to deal with in that same moment. And this will feel like I'm doing something to them and causing their reactivity to go through the same cycle. And now I'm going to be the reactive one for them to justify their reactivity. And neither one of us will actually see and experience the other fully because we're just working out our own programming at the other's expense. Now, I know I kind of said that three different ways, but I really want to make the point that reactivity just sets a cycle going. And the only person who can start to look at that cycle and really want to work with it is you, right? So it's like, phew. So what am I saying? Get clear that you actually are not justified in being reactive with others. And that whatever is happening that you are attributing to them doing something to you that you don't like or want, you are totally justified in noticing your reactivity and the feelings and the reason for feeling justified and the past that has you walking in your personal maze way. And the more you do that with intention, that you really find the grit to look honestly and see what's really there and ponder it from the inside, the more you're going to start to get a hold of this whole idea of reactivity in your own life. Now, in this moment, I find that when I talk about this with people, they have a tendency to rule out things that don't seem like they matter very much. Moments that are throwaway moments or moments that, you know, seem like they're small. But it's actually the small moments where you can really work on reactivity in a completely different way. So I want to take this idea of not being justified a bit further. When life, not individual people, but life doesn't give you what you want or think you should have or the reactions you're seeking, it's the same thing. You're not justified to take out your reactions on the world. And I say this because as long as you believe that you are, you can't get access to your own power. And then you can't actually cause the outcomes that you're truly wanting. It's a cycle that will repeat itself over and over, and you'll miss out on the very things you're actually getting reactive over for not getting. So you want to stop letting this feeling of being justified rule the day. And you may have to peel some layers back to actually find that sense of being justified. It may look like something different to you, right? It may look like it was logical. It may look like it was more a set of steps that you were following and they didn't follow their steps, right? That there's some set of rules or processes. But justification means I feel like I'm right. Right? I feel like I am over here and I'm the one who's doing what's supposed to happen and they are not, or life is not, right? I'm working really hard every day. Life is not delivering for me. See, it's undermining your opportunity to generate this life that's freer and more collaborative. And it usually produces much more workable space for you to do the things you want to do. So this brings me to my next point, or an ancillary one at least. I should be thwarted. I should be told no sometimes. I should come up against walls and limitations and constraints in the outer world because this is when I am literally thrown back on myself if I don't feel justified in throwing things into the world. And I'm also asked to get clearer. I'm asked to get really more committed. I get to question what's really going on and why I'm doing it. You know, when this happens, when I get thrown back on myself because I don't get told yes all the time, I have to go into my past and my life and look at the sensory experience of being reactive in my body. This is the gift of life. This is actually the gift of reactivity. Because every time we feel reactive, we really do have such a huge chance to go reclaim some aspect of what it is that's going inside and to push ourselves to get clearer and more specific and more intentional about what we're doing, why we're doing it, what we hope to accomplish out of it, and what we're trying to cause, right? Because let's face it, we all want to feel like our thumbprint is placed on our lifetimes. And if we're really unconscious to all this reactivity that we're participating in, whether we're really the source of it or whether we're like finding ourselves wrapped in it, right? If we don't see all that reactivity, then the contribution that we make, that thumbprint I'm talking about, well, it looks different, doesn't it? Right? So I think I got lost there a little bit in that whole thought. Okay. So when I talk about reactivity, I'm talking about this rising up and resisting and feeling conflict and even possibly hostility, like a physical response that can range from like hot eyes to a tense stomach to sweaty palms, you know, shoulder muscles that tighten up. Ooh, I feel good. I just tightened them actually and released them. So this physical sensation, it's the thing we're trying to throw off onto another person or another situation by giving it a release when we're reactive, because it is so darn uncomfortable to feel it, right? But this is the place we want to really own what's happening in our body. Someone else, the world, is not in control of our body, and they're not causing our physical sensations. This is a myth of the conscious mind. I think there's a lot of those kinds of myths. I like to kind of, you know, find them and notice them, because I think the conscious mind perpetuates certain myths so that we don't actually have to be in the whole self. So I've got to say, redirecting these moments of reactivity so they are truly grasped as yours is a huge practice of self-connection. You know, we talk about self-love all the time, right? What are you doing for yourself, right? But this idea of self-connection and really taking on the way we're operating in the everyday is where the real bang for our buck is going to come from. And self-connection means a lot of honesty. It means a lot of being with the part of ourselves that maybe we don't want to see, the part that didn't do it right, that doesn't look good, right? Bring it in and focus and get your arms around this huge internal moment when you can get into more relationship and understanding with yourself. And that's the key if we're going to work with reactivity. I thought I'd share a kind of a funny moment in my life. And it was, I was at this concert. It was so hot. It was in the middle of the summer. And gosh, I think Tim McGraw was on the stage and Luke Bryan. And we were so hot. And I start pouring water over me because I'm like anything to get less hot, right? And by the end of the concert, what happened is that I physically actually was so uncomfortable because I wasn't now just hot. I was hot and wet. And it was kind of clammy, and I got super duper uncomfortable because my clothes were wet, but I couldn't really dry off because it was so hot and humid. And in that moment, it was interesting because my reactivity, like, it's not like I'd say, oh, look, somebody did something to me. But in that moment, it was like the weather did, right? But what translated was I was justified in being grumpy. And oh my gosh, I was like stompy grumpy. And so everybody that I was with it was kind of like I growled at them. I gave them dirty looks. Don't talk to me. We were walking back to the car. I didn't spend any time waiting for anybody. The justification going on in my psyche that I was so justified in being grumpy because things had gotten uncomfortable for me. I can't even describe, like, my grumpy meter. I think if you were watching, it was all the way up, you know, into the red zone. So this is the thing about reactivity is that I've talked a lot about it more like when you're interacting with someone, but really it's a state of experience that's actually happening inside of us. And, you know, it was such a pronounced experience. I still can connect with that entire thing that was happening to me because I got hot and wet and couldn't dry off and felt like I couldn't get comfortable and was so, so, so unhappy about it all. So I'm hoping as I'm talking that you're starting to think a little bit about some of the reactive moments that you have and also how you relate to the world from a context of your expectations. So just one more piece about this, which is I want to go back to that point I mentioned earlier that you are triggering others' reactions too. It's not one-sided, even if you're super nice and polite. Now, my story, I was super grumpy and I knew I was triggering everyone else, or they were at least holding the space not to get triggered, right? So even if you think you only ask for what seems totally reasonable, even if you think you're a respectful driver, none of this is going to offset the idea that you are likely involved in some reciprocal reactivity moment. All right. So I'd like you to think about this. How do you relate to that? Can you actually be with it? That you are creating it, co-creating it. You're in reactivity. Other people are. Is it okay with you? Like, can you own this in your mind and recognize it when it shows up in the moment? And how do you help yourself do that? And then the last couple questions is, does it make sense that if you're feeling reactive, then you're likely pushing the green light on their reactivity? Because unconsciousness begets unconsciousness. All right, when we come back, we're going to tie this to our favorite word, one of our favorites, vulnerability. And we'll talk some more about it.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Well, we're back. I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. We're talking about reactivity today. And, you know, the reason I really wanted to do this show is I actually think it's going on all the time. And you know, when I think about talking about growth and going inside, it's so easy to look at it like, oh, yeah, well, I'll think about it on those days when I have some time to ponder my life and who I am in it. But really what's happening these days is everybody's reactive. And we're reactive because we're running into all kinds of situations that we can't get moved, or we can't get our needs met, or we can't get the response we're looking for. And so we've got to go to work on this, right? And it will make life better. And it's also better because then our families, we can get along better, and we can talk through things that we might have been typically reactive to. We have to put our intention into doing it. So even though I feel like the subject's a little bit kind of like, well, how many times are we going to say the word reactivity? I want to say it enough times that you really drop in and say, you know what, where is this happening in my life? Because I'm sure it's happening somewhere. So, okay. So vulnerability is the state of dropping into what's really going on inside. So you don't have to direct your reactivity outside, but instead can see what's uncomfortable or what's scary or what's really happening for you and actually be with it and feel it. So that's why we want to debunk this idea that you're justified in being reactive, because the only way to cross that bridge to vulnerability, the only way to cross that bridge to vulnerability is to block the bridge, is to block the bridge that gives it a way out to the world. See, when we're a fight or an expectation waiting to happen, we're going to get a fight or expectation waiting to happen back. It doesn't mean that if we're peaceful and collaborative, we won't get a fight back, but it's likely that because we're being in deep ownership of our own reactivity, it just won't escalate in the same way, and new options and solutions might actually make themselves known. I also want to mention that it's logical that we're a fight waiting to happen because of the very nature of our childhoods and our need to survive as human beings and the way we're all walking around doing our journey. But when we're working to get more conscious, we want to understand that our come from, I put this in quotes, right? It's our come from, is dictating a good amount of what we encounter. And this come from is something I want to talk about next. So we think about fighting for what is right. We romanticize it. We think about this fight as having courage and strength. You know, in many ways, when I hear truth to power, it's like we're saying something that takes added energy to get it out of our mouth and stay for the battle that will ensue. So this idea that you have a come from, right? That's something that's going on inside you that you come from in the way you relate to life that has to do with this overall relationship, how you expect life or a situation to go and what you expect to come out of someone else's mouth. It is totally, or their actions, it is totally exposed when you're reactive because there's no filter at play, right? Your come from is completely visible, even if it isn't to you. And reactivity happens a lot of times when we think we're at risk in some way, when we feel threatened or disrupted or thwarted. So if you think about it, I know I talk about this survival mode, which is when you're simply focused on getting something handled or fixed. And I talk about it a lot. So if you're in a situation when you feel this way, then your reactivity is going to kick in. And it's likely that some of your survival mode has a bit of a fight in it. And it's very difficult, to be vulnerable when you're in survival mode, because it asks the opposite of what you're actually feeling compelled to portray. Right? Survival mode says action, strength, fixing, controlling, managing. These ways generally don't provide an easy path to vulnerability, right? Because vulnerability feels the opposite: passive, weak, helpless, not knowing, maybe powerless. See, this is a great place to notice reactivity, that it's tied to survival mode and a come from about being ready to fight for yourself in some way, to survive. And of course, it's the place where this vulnerability is the hardest to access. Okay, so I'm going to take a big breath. There's another big piece of this reactivity conversation I want to touch on. And that has to do with what isn't available to you when you feel reactive. And that is constructive words. Instead of talking to someone about what's happening with you, or me, we tend, when we're in that pushback state of mind, to point the finger, to accuse, to start sentences with "but you," to speak more about their actions than our feelings. Right? We have a hard time remembering that there's a person on the other end of that finger. And because of that, we completely forget that the person has their own experience that's likely to be triggered by our reactivity. And without words to talk through that, this doesn't end up being a true human exchange that has possibility. Instead, it's like an exchange of two people being reactive on each other. So what's the alternative in this moment if you could find your words and you could develop your ability to use words, even if you're not a big talker, to start to realize the role of words in this moment by seeing this reactivity through a different lens? Now, I'm going to stop here for just a moment. I'm going to give you the phone number again. It's 202-570-7057. I'd love to hear what's happening for you around this whole reactivity conversation. So, okay, what would happen if you could find your words? Well, the first thing to do, to get, is that people are already predicting what someone is going to do or say to them when reactivity starts running. This conversation, you know, that's running in their head is the only thing they're going to hear unless you can bring something different. So in the example that I mentioned earlier about me not liking to be told no, well, when that person tells me no, they're already gearing up for a fight, right? They're registering something on my face. I've already begun the pushback. They already know the argument I'm going to make. They already know how to shut it down. They already have a history with what the whole thing feels like. And they're likely not going to be vulnerable about it, unfortunately. I don't know what percentage of the world works on this, but I don't think it's a large percentage, at least not yet. So reactivity limits our choices when we let it play out because we can't shift the basis for the exchange. We don't bring the words needed to reflect our vulnerability. And we trigger the other person to become reactive, to not have different words, and to listen through this preconceived lens perspective. Yeah, so, you can see that reactivity, when it's normalized and rationalized and justified, it just closes down the opportunity to create relationship and to gain understanding and to get help or to give help and to find common ground. This whole thing is a little different when we're feeling reactive about life in general, right? Things not going right for us, like that night that I got hot and then drenched. So imagine this. You go out to get in your car and the tire is flat, it's raining, and you go to call AAA, and you realize your phone isn't working. So you go back inside, and as you do, you trip over the dog toy and bump your head on the wall. We've all had those moments, right? When life doesn't go right, we get so justified about feeling reactive. We feel banged up and abandoned and uncared for and misunderstood. And sure, everyone has bad days. You know, everything I've described up to this moment is relevant, especially now, because if you let yourself get reactive when you have one of these days, or maybe one of those years, you yourself lose some of the choices to deal and face what's going on in your life. You actually limit yourself in that space, allowing that reactivity to life, that idea that things are not going well, to then set in motion how you're going to go out in the world. And you then miss the opportunity to put words on your whole experience and to truly, truly validate what it means for you to be human, to go inside and work with the way you're relating to life. We hold beliefs that life is supposed to go a certain way for us or work out. But that's another one of those myths I was talking about. Your life's not supposed to be anything or provide anything or do anything for you. You're human, and everything that comes your way is an opportunity to think about how you relate to life, how you fight life, what you expect from it, and ways to interact and interrelate to create more constructive and supportive relationships and circumstances. This, this is the great equalizer when working on reactivity. It's to drop into the idea that life isn't supposed to be anything or do anything for you. You are not deserving of a win or a certain way that people interact with you. You are a creator, and it's on you to create every moment. See, I see reactivity as a bypass of being a powerful creator of all things, because when we give over to feeling justified about being reactive rather than owning and claiming and wrapping ourselves around what's going on with us, we don't have to bring anything else. We don't have to think about who we are being. We don't even care about how it really goes for the other person or the situation, because we're feeding our need to let it all hang out. So this idea of a come from, I just want to see if we can spend another minute or two on what that means. It starts with exploring how you relate to everything, right? How we relate. Do we like it? Do we respect it? Do we feel close to it? Is our emotional heart space around it? Do we understand the details? Do we care about how it goes? How committed are we? These are questions about how do I relate? Then you explore this idea of, do I feel justified in being reactive? And do I have expectations about how things are supposed to go for me, either this moment or the week or my life? And that takes us to the come from. A come from like, I think people should take care of me, or I think life is always going to give me a hard time. These are typical ones, right? What would yours be? Maybe another one might be like feeling like life doesn't really care about you, or you'll put in lots of energy but never win first prize. It's at this point that we want to recognize who we are being. If I have a come from that says people should take care of me, then you might find I'm being dependent or complaining. Or if I'm someone who's come from might be feeling like I'm not cared about, then my way of being might be something like apathetic or disinterested or uncommitted. So you see, the come from focus gives you a much better ability to get up and under the reactivity and begin to think about how that translates to who you're being. So I want to circle all the way back to the beginning when I talked about how we get justified. This is what we're really trying to debunk and undermine, this feeling that things are being done to us that validate our come from and reinforce the idea that we are right about how it's going to go. If you're really going to have power for yourself, you're going to need to get up and under your come from in life, because it's always out to prove itself right. And the more you stay in that cycle of reactivity about how things go for you, you're going to keep proving yourself right over and over. So if my come from is I should be taken care of, then when I talk to people or interact with life, I'm going to have this expectation edge. I may even sound a little entitled. So reactivity is the great notifier to us that we've dropped into the hole of something, that it isn't going my way because it doesn't match my expectations or come from. And because I think I'm entitled to be reactive, I can miss the growth opportunity to begin to debunk the idea that another person is doing something to me rather than just walking around in their own internal maze. If we stop normalizing it, we're going to get empowered by it. So hopefully I've made the case for catching a hold of your reactivity and starting to relate to it differently. I think it's worthwhile to share a bit and how your words can sound different, right? The most important thing you say to yourself is, wow, I'm reactive, to really call it and see it. I want to thank you for being on my show with me today, and I hope that you are pondering reactivity in an entirely new way. I will say to you that a lot of times when I'm playing with a concept, it's easier to see in others than myself. And I do have a poem for us. It's called Keep Fighting by Afia. All right, here we go. Life feels like a battleground. You keep pushing through, going against the flow of current. Resistance feels strong. The path of least resistance, some say I should follow. But some things are worth fighting for. I got to get my armor up to create the change that I seek. I got to get myself in the game. Fuel up. Stand up. Keep fighting the fight. I chose that poem mostly because what I hope you heard in the show is it's actually about owning the fight. It's about owning our expectations. It's about really being willing to start thinking about who we're being and what our come-froms are all about and how we can step into that in a much more vulnerable way and bring words that alter the entire conversation. Have an awesome week. Thank you so much for being here with me and Expedition Self.